This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The Capitals, 11 days into the new year, have yet to lose a game. 7-17, undefeated New Year Kings. And to help them take down everybody, Alex Ovechkin gets 1,000 points in his NHL career. Lots of stuff going on. Plus, even better, we beat the Penguins tonight. What's better than that? Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
As you can tell, I don't sound that great. I got a little bit of a sore throat, but I will power through because we got to talk about this game. Got to talk about the Caps in the last week. Capitals look great. Right now, Braden Holtby should have 4 shutouts in a row. We'll talk about the Montreal game later, but almost shut out the Penguins. They did get one.
It was an interesting game. It was definitely a game where the Capitals were dominating at points. And I just ran upstairs to record afterwards. But I'm seeing that Mike Milbury on NBC Sports Center Network versus OLN is talking about how the Capitals had to try their hardest to beat the Pens. Yeah, they did play their hardest, and that's why they won the game, because they played very well, you jackass.
Yeah.
The reason they were able to get that win is because they played better than the Penguins. They tried their hardest. Teams try the hardest, they're more likely to win, you moron.
I know the NBC Sports crew is a little confused when the Penguins don't win, so I can understand them being a little confused about that. But let's talk about the fact that this was Ovi's 1,000th point in the NHL, and that it came within 35 seconds of this game.
He wasn't wasting any time.
No, he had a goal to make a goal tonight, and he was able to get that done within the first minute of this game. Penguins didn't know what was coming at him. That was a beautiful, again, Ovi doing the magic, looking great. 1,000 points. Quite a milestone for that young man.
A lot of zero,
I sounded like the oldest dude just then. I sound like I'm like 50 right now.
Little bit. It was a little weird. It was a little weird, man. Sorry, dude.
Quite the accomplishment by that guy. By that dude. That's bad.
I mean, it's impressive to get that many points. I think I heard in the broadcast he's like the 35th player ever or something to get 1,000 points. And to do that with one franchise is also pretty amazing. And so congratulations to him. He got up to 101 tonight?
That's right, he did. 1,000 points.
Hang on, was he involved in any other point? No, he just got the 2 goals. So, yeah, 1,001 NHL points, which is freaking amazing for him to get. It is phenomenal, and I think he set the tone for the team tonight to some extent. He came out firing. You saw him trying hard the entire game, and I thought he played exceptionally well, as did the rest of this team. I thought they fought hard considering they were playing not only against the Penguins, but there were some very questionable calls by the referee and some questionable decision-making by your buddy Steven Alexi with that knee of his going after Orlov and Johansson. So I have to imagine that Alexi's going to get a phone call. Maybe not for the first one, but for that second one. To have 2 knee-on-knee hits is a game. The NHL better be making a phone call. Or maybe that get-out-of-jail-free card wearing a Penguins jersey is a legitimate thing.
Yeah, that was questionable by Alexi, especially like you said, the second one was really bad. It looked very blatant, and you know, Alexi, this is his old team. I figured they were boys, so I didn't think he would do something dirty like that. But if he doesn't get suspended or demoted to the AHL, it's
at least a fine.
Yeah, definitely something. But this was a nationally televised game. I kind of have to assume that the Caps were getting away with it, and the refs were kind of told, even this out a little bit, make it interesting for our national crowd.
I don't know if I go quite that far.
I don't know.
I just feel like the referees were given a couple of calls, and I don't think they were biased. I don't think they were trying to rig the game. I just think there was just a poorly officiated night by the referees. I don't buy the whole conspiracy theories and things like that. I just think they just did a crappy job.
What this is? This like, is the second
you're giving
time.
Them more credit than I am. I just thought they suck tonight.
There was another game.
That's not fair. These weren't very good.
What was it, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that it was a very questionable officiated game with the Caps? Wasn't Caps Penguins? I don't remember. I think it was around Christmas, but I remember even like Joe B and Laughlin.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what game that was, but even they were like, what is happening?
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense.
Did you see this thing that Dan Steinberg just tweeted out? Sorry, I tend to have Twitter open as we're recording. Caps are 1 point behind the lead in the NHL.
Correct. They are.
They are 1 point behind the ridiculous run that Columbus was on. So that is pretty impressive.
Look at this. Look who's in number three behind the Caps. Tied. Chicago Blackhawks. Hold on.
Has it loaded yet? Oh, their big rival, according to the NHL.
Well, that's who they're playing on Friday. So Friday's game just became a little bit more important.
Yeah, sure. Not really. They're in the other conference. Meh. Columbus is probably like, crap.
Well, we had a good run, guys.
Everybody's catching up, guys. What do we do? No, the Capitals playing very well right now. I thought the game tonight, tonight's game was phenomenal. I thought everyone played very well. The team came out firing. Ovechkin had 7 shots. Holy crap. He had 4 more than the next closest person on the Capitals, which is – oh, no, that's not true. I just saw Carlson had 5, but whatever. The point is the guys are shooting the puck a lot. They're doing his best as much as they could to get the win. Guys are making good blocks and – good pass. The passing was phenomenal. I think Oshie. The thing with the referee call is like Oshie put himself in the position for the referees to make a bad call. So Oshie, while he played phenomenal in that fourth goal, Backstrom's? Wait, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, Backstrom's goal. I thought Oshie made a phenomenal pass. Mm-hmm. And even quarterback that play with a stick where he was like, guys, play it over there. See that guy? He's open. Pass it to him. I thought that was great by him. I thought the whole thing was phenomenal. TJ Oshie's the man, but he needs to stay out of the box because he had far too many penalty minutes tonight. He had 6 penalty minutes. Not good.
Yeah, to be in the box 3 times and to be on the top line and to take those penalties that late in the game definitely hurts the team. The Orlov penalty made absolutely no sense. There was no reason for him to be in the box.
They got for roughing. I was like, no, those are 2 other guys, you morons. They were roughing each other. They should go into the box. For minors, like, no. Orlov was like, what? What do you mean me? No, wrong guy with the V at the end of his name.
Wrong Russian.
That guy. Take the other Russian guy and the idiot in the white. I don't even remember who Kuznetsov was pissed off at.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of a testy game, but I thought the Capitals played very well.
The Capitals, the one thing they do have to work on, if they get to the postseason right now, they're looking very good. But the Penguins were getting dirty towards the end of that game. They were getting frustrated, and they were trying to start stuff. They were trying to get those penalties, and they were egging them on. And
they knew they were going to get them.
The Caps were kind of like falling into it, you know? They were allowing the Penguins to ruffle their feathers a little bit. Caps just need to focus on the game, not get carried away with who they're up against, what they're doing. Let them make the mistakes. Continue to play the game that you want to play, and don't get sucked into the dirty calls that they're trying to get.
That's pretty much what you need to do. If you allow the other team to get in your head, then you're not focused on what you need to be doing, and you're not doing a good enough job. And so what the Capitals need to continue to do is just focus on their game, not worry about bad calls by the referee, not worry about the other team taking cheap shots. There we go. And just focus on what you need to do. And, yes, you need to stand up for yourself. And if someone goes and knees one of your teammates, you get in their face and yell at them, maybe give them a little shot.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything dirty, but you're standing up for your teammates, and that's fine. It should be if you want to do coincidental minors. But you also need to make sure that you're controlling yourself when it's just a normal hit or a normal play and the guy takes a penalty. Don't necessarily jump in and stir something up because the referees are looking for retaliatory penalties. And that way, if you get one of those, you have now cost your team a chance for a power play. So you need to make sure they maintain their composure. That is one of the biggest things. Now I'm picturing Will Ferrell in his underwear in old school slamming the chair down, not maintaining his composure. But that's what you need to do in these big games and make sure you're doing in the playoffs. Maintain your composure, play smart, and you'll be fine.
Do you remember when Will Ferrell made funny movies? That's been so long.
When was the last movie he was even in?
I don't know.
I'm actually thinking the same thing, and I cannot remember.
You and I had this debate a couple years ago, but Will Ferrell hasn't made a funny movie in 10 years.
All right, hold on, I'm looking it up. Stranger of Fiction I really liked, and that was 11 years ago. Holy crap, that movie's 11 years old. And he wasn't even, like, that funny that day. Like, it was more serious. I actually thought he was very good in that movie. I'm sure I'm missing something.
It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Will Ferrell has not been funny in 10 years.
That doesn't mean he hasn't been funny. He hasn't been in a funny movie. But a lot of, I mean, you see it a lot of time where comedians will go and they go into more serious roles and they stick with it. And
he hasn't done serious roles. He's done the same character for 10 years and no one thinks it's funny.
Gotten just so far off topic.
All right. Is there anything else we should talk about in this game?
No, I mean, it was a very well-played game. Holpe was phenomenal. He still has it. I don't even remember the last time he gave up an even-strength goal, because both of the Penguins' goals were in power play goals tonight. Someone will look that up. I don't feel like doing it right now.
All right, so I'm going to get a drink of water, and then we are going to be back talking about the Caps-Montreal game.
On down to Ovechkin. In on the right side. Ovechkin's going to call his own number. He scores! Nothing, Washington. Congratulations, Alex Ovechkin.
Now let's go back in time a little bit. Talk about the Montreal Canadiens game the Caps played. I want to say, I put this out on Facebook and Twitter. This is one of the best games I've seen the Caps play in a while. The Caps look solid. Of course, they're in the middle of a win streak at the time, so they've looked good. Holby was going for, his third shutout in a row. But I wrote on Facebook, wrote on Twitter, I was like, for those fans of the Caps or hockey in general that just watched during the playoffs, you miss games like this. That was an entertaining, fun game to watch. It was exciting. It was fast-paced. I loved everything about the Caps-Montreal game, especially the score, but it finally looked like Yevgeny Kuznetsov woke up. Ovi made history. Overall, just the game in Montreal was fantastic. I'm going to start calling it, Phone Booth North at this point.
Just while the Caps have Ovechkin, will we call it the Phone Booth North? I like that. I think that works. I think this is – it definitely was a very good game. I remember I was – I got a nice little setup in the basement where I got the TV. I got two TVs set up. One's a little bit smaller, and I've got the Xbox playing on one. I got the game on the other. I remember I'm watching both, and I just remembered seeing the Montreal goal and just being like, that's BS.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of was. I mean, Orpik was the one that kind of hit Holpe, but the other guy was there, and so it was a very tricky play. It ruined Holpe's streak, but that's fine because in the end, the Capitals still won the game. Ovechkin did what he did in that game, making history in that particular game, and I thought the team played exceptionally well in a dominating game against a good Montreal team.
Solid.
Yes, this is a team that has a lot of injuries, and they were missing a couple of players. But the Capitals, I mean, they're still a very good team. And so the Capitals playing the way that they were able to come out and dominate that way was fantastic. And so for them to have been able to do and pull that off definitely sets this team up in a very nice position going forward. And I think they've been, over the last number of games up to that point, they had been playing exceptionally well. And so it was one of those things where you kind of expected it. I would have liked a little bit of a better score against the game against Ottawa. And I didn't actually see that game, but you would have liked to have had a higher score. But if you look at the domination over Columbus, and you look at how they were able to play against Toronto, it wasn't great, but they were able to pull that one out. And then again, they beat Ottawa 2-1. I mean, this is a team that is able to fight their way through those games.
Yeah, the thing about the interference no call for Holpe is everybody, I think, was looking at Brooks Orpik. If you look, though, at Holpe's right foot, it looks like a Canadiens player kind of trips him up, and that's what kind of sends him off balance. I don't think the referees were looking at that angle or even paying attention to that player. That's what I was seeing, and I was like, man, that's an easy call, but I don't think the refs were looking in that direction. But whatever, Holpe didn't get another shutout. I'm sure he'll get a few more the rest of this season, but it would have been great, but it's okay. So let's talk about Ovi. He tied the Rockets' goal.
I mean, he's got enough of his trophies in his house. He might as well have tied him.
I mean, he's probably going to ask
Montreal,
them to, like,
of all places.
Yeah, he did it in Montreal. He's going to ask the NHL to rename the trophy after Alex Ovechkin, I think, at some point. you know, he's won it so many times, just name it after him. But do you think there's a little added incentive that for Ovi to do that, you know, from the Ovi spot in a typical Ovi goal in the Rockets' hometown of Montreal? I think, was that like a little extra motivation?
I mean, probably was. I think it was merely coincidence or happenstance that it ended up that way. But I think once the chips sort of fell that particular way, they were kind of like, okay, this is kind of perfect. This may be the perfect time for that to happen. And it worked out. I don't think that you could have planned it that way just because you don't know how other things are going to go. And sure. How many – I mean, we were talking about last season him getting – was it 500, whatever it was, goals – career goals or NHL, their most goals as a Russian, and it kept happening, and they didn't count because someone did something stupid. It was Justin Williams. Justin Williams kept being a dummy head about that and screwed him over. And so, like, this could have happened earlier, but everything sort of fell into place for him to be able to tie the record in Montreal.
Yeah, so let's talk about Cousy. We've been talking about him since the beginning of the year, how he doesn't look like Cousy. But in Montreal, the phone booth north, Cousy was playing like a madman. He was playing like typical Yevgeny Kuznetsov.
Oh, man, I love that goal. To see it.
Oh, that goal. Filthy, dirty goal. But, God, that was so good. And the fact, like, it wasn't even just the goal. All right, so Montreal finally gets on the scoreboard. The fans finally get into it. And then here comes Yevgeny Kuznetsov. He's being the party crasher. And he's going, and he's getting that goal, what, within a minute of Montreal's goal being declared an actual goal? And shuts that stuff down. He was playing Negan to Montreal. He shut that stuff down.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, it was like, oh, great, it's a tie game. I mean, the Caps kind of let them hang around. They should have been able to score earlier in that game. And then they scored and tied up, and I was like, oh, here we go again. And then Kuznetsov's like, no, thanks. We'll take that lead back. Thank you very much. Not happening. And it was fantastic. It was nice to see that he's starting to wake up.
And hopefully he can continue to do this throughout the rest of the year, and we'll see him, further along in the postseason. Now let me ask you about TJ Oshie. He missed the game in Montreal, which really sucked. He's got those shoulder issues. Is this something to be worried about with Oshie? Because we know in St. Louis he kind of had a problem with staying healthy. We haven't really seen that yet in D.C., but, you know, for him to miss a game against Montreal and just a couple weeks ago miss a few games, is that something that we should kind of be worried about?
So I was reading before, and it sounds like they just held him out of Monday's game as a precaution. They weren't necessarily doing it necessarily just because of the injury. They were giving an opportunity to rest, and if it was a playoff game or a more important game, I feel like he would have played. So I think he's okay. I'm not concerned with his injury situation yet. It's a long season. These guys play hard, and occasionally you're going to need a break, or occasionally something's just not going to feel right, and that's why you have depth.
Very true. Very true. So speaking of depth, we saw a couple of Hershey Bears get pulled up to the main leagues, and we saw Liam O'Brien for the first time this season.
Your boy!
We didn't see him at all last year. It was two seasons ago. He played about 2 months worth of hockey with the Capitals, takes a season off, stays in Hershey the entire time. Now we see him back again. Did you see anything like he was being rewarded for coming up because he was doing so well in Hershey to get some of the main league cash, I guess. But did you see anything on the ice from O'Brien that really showed that he wasn't just, you know, a guy who was willing to hit people in the face?
He's just going to go out and punch somebody. Meh. I mean, it was fine. I wasn't overly impressed, and I wasn't underwhelmed. I mean, he only got just over 6 minutes of ice time, so I wasn't expecting him to go out and be super dynamic. I think he was just there because they wanted to give Oshie a rest and had him just in case. I mean, they also recalled Paul Carey in case Wilson couldn't go, but Wilson ended up playing, just got over 10 minutes. So they ended up not needing him in the end. But I think the biggest thing is O'Brien played fine. He wasn't great. Didn't have a ton of minutes. He got one hit. So I guess he made his mark to some extent. It didn't seem like he was necessarily not overmatched, but like, I don't think he's a guy that's going to be an everyday NHLer, but he's a guy that'll float back and forth.
All right. We'll see. Maybe he'll be a career AHLer. Who knows, but we'll see. One guy who's not going to be a career.
I mean, it's not bad living.
No, I mean, it's fine. John Scott couldn't do it. He had like 8 kids, but that's okay. All right, so one guy who's not going to be... One guy who's not going to be a career AHLer, Nicholas Backstrom, making history. These Caps are making history this week. Ovi making history. Now we got Backy making history. 500 assists this past weekend. Dude's been solid, and, I mean... He's got to take a little bit of credit for those Ovi points because, man, if he he's a big part of Ovi's history with those goals is coming from Nick Backstrom. He's an assist machine. He's looked great and, you know, good for Nicky.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a fantastic player, and I like the fact that he doesn't really care about the spotlight. He just wants to play and have fun. He's doing a good job with it. He's just out there to play the game, and I like that we see he can get physical when he needs to be, and he can also be very very slick with the puck, and so he does a fantastic job, and I think having him on this team was the right pick by McPhee back in the day. I know there were some questions as to whether they were going to take Backstrom or not, and if they were going to try and trade up or trade down or what they were going to do with the pick, but I think they definitely went out and found one of the best players. Not only, I would say in that, I mean, it's tough to say if it was in that draft. That was the same year as Jonathan Taves, I believe, who went first overall to Chicago. Just look that up real quick. But, I mean, he's been a phenomenal hockey player. He seems like he's just genuinely like a good dude to have around. He's a guy you can build your team around even if he doesn't want that spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Backstrom.
Taves went third overall.
Really?
Eric Johnson went first to St. Louis. Jordan Staal to Pittsburgh. Taves to Chicago. Backstrom went to Washington. Kessel to Boston. And then they went from there.
Interesting.
There's some good players in that draft.
That was some really good players, yeah.
Michael Frolik, Brian Little, Michael Grabner. Jeez. Semyon Varlamov.
Yeah, well.
Claude Giroux went 22nd.
They can't all be winners.
Yeah. He said he made a good career for himself, aside from, you know, trying to beat his woman. aside from that part. I mean, you've had some really good players. Milan Lucic went second round, 50th overall to Boston. We'd have all night to say nice things about Backstrom. The guy's just a fantastic player. He loves playing the game, and he does a good job.
Absolutely. So, unfortunately for Backstrom, maybe, you know, actually fortunately for him because he hates this kind of stuff, he was not named to the NHL All-Star Game. But
that is some bold stuff.
He's probably like, you know what? Cool. Don't have to go. That's fine with me.
I go home and have a break. Fine with me.
But we have Braden Holtby and Alex Ovechkin representing the Capitals this time around. Pretty great for them. There's only 11 spots. The Capitals get two of them, and they're going to be captained by Sidney Crosby and coached by Columbus coach John Tortorella. That is quite
the team. Yeah, because you do a lot of coaching in the All-Star game.
I just I want them to mic up Ovi for the bench for him and Tortorella. I'm so intrigued of their working dynamic.
That should be pretty entertaining.
But big deal for Holtby and Ovi. I think this is what Ovi's like 400th time being nominated for the All-Star game. This is Holtby's second. So big deal for Holtby and big deal for Ovi. He actually said on Caps Talk that this is going to be his first time that he's going to have his family at the All-Star game with him. So Ovi's going to L.A. and he says he wants to win some money.
He wanted to get picked last four. He wanted a car one time. Now he wants some money.
They don't pay these players enough, apparently.
It's tough being a hockey player, Brandon, I got to tell you. It's real tough being a hockey player.
All right. I don't know. But one more thing we got to talk about. Huge news, potentially. The Caps could be hosting yet another outdoor game next year. Not in D.C., but in the Navy Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland. I am psyched. I have not been to a Caps outdoor game before, and this could be a great first one because they're getting closer to Baltimore, closer to Oriole Park at Camden Yards, but Naptown, that's a good place to have a hockey game.
It's more like away. It's like D.C.'s here, and then Annapolis, if you're looking at a map, is to the right, and Baltimore's up. And to the right. So I guess it's kind of closer. But no, I mean, it's not a very big stadium. I mean, the capacity I'm reading is only 34,000.
Yeah.
Then again, you've had some of the outdoor games. The Heritage Classic that was in Winnipeg was only 34,000. So it's not – I'm sorry, it was slightly fewer than 34,000. So it's not like it'd be the craziest thing in the world. That would be fun to go to. Having been to the Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, not for a game, but as like a parking spot when I went and did what was it called? The Polar Bear Plunge. It's snug getting in and out of there. Like, you think getting out of D.C. is tough. It's going to be a little interesting. So traffic is going to be a you-know-what.
So let me tell you, I went to Annapolis.
But that would be cool.
That would be really cool. I went to Annapolis the Saturday before Thanksgiving, I believe. Well, maybe a week before that. But it was right before Thanksgiving. And I went there because there's a store in Annapolis. I wanted to get a shirt for the holidays. And it's only in Annapolis. This one store. And I went around, 4:30, 5 o'clock, not knowing that there was a Navy game.
Uh-oh.
They shut down the exits to get into Annapolis. Like, you can't get to it from the highway. So, yeah, getting in and out of that place, ridiculous. But pretty cool that there's going to be a potential game at Navy Stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. Just, yeah, I agree with you. Parking, going to be a problem.
Parking will be a little rough. Getting to there will be a little rough, and getting home will be a little rough. But, I mean, if it's on a weekend,
get yourself a
room. Doesn't matter. But it's also, I imagine, going to be expensive, seeing as how it's going to be like 34,000 seats right around there.
Yeah.
They do have some standing area, but.
They do, yeah. The Ravens actually held a practice there a couple years ago during training camp. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm surprised they wouldn't have the game at whatever the Raven Stadium is called now.
M&T Bank. Yeah.
I'm surprised they wouldn't talk about having it there. Or even, I mean, Oriole Park, I know they did the prior one was at the was at Nats Park, and I'm surprised they wouldn't look at Oriole Park or the Raven Stadium. But it seems like they like the idea of having a sort of at the Navy Stadium, which is kind of, I mean, it's a cool backdrop. It's definitely going to be a cool thing to watch.
A lot of history in Annapolis. Great place to come visit if you are a history buff. But Baltimore, you see, this would be a perfect time to have Caps against Flyers at Camden Yards. But I bet you it's Caps Flyers at Navy Stadium. But
I'm seeing Caps Rangers.
Yeah, well, that sucks. But all right.
Oh, that sucks.
I don't know. Like, we've seen that so many times. There's like, I don't know.
We saw it'd make more sense than Caps Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's
so like the rivalry, and we're like, what rivalry?
We hate these guys. I thought we were cool.
We're fine. I don't really know what the problem is, but all right, whatever.
All right, anything else we should cover in this Caps world?
I mean, they're doing well in the standings. They're in the playoffs right now. If they were to start today, that'd be weird though if they started today. But actually, it kind of made more sense to have the Stanley Cup when it's still relatively cold out. The Stanley Cup Finals, at least in this area, they're doing well. Got to keep going.
All right, well, that's it for Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays and maybe even some international hockey. Coach Dan, what is going on down the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where in the past week they went 0-1-2. Not good! They had two games against Wilkes-Barre Scranton and a chance to catch up, if not pass them in the division, and they blew it. They choked. They did not get it. I couldn't think of another way to put that. The Bears are currently fourth in the Atlantic Division with 45 points, 8 back of first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears will be back at it with a home game. Sorry, with a home and home starting on Friday on the road in Lehigh Valley, with Saturday's game being at the Giants Center and Sunday's home game against Binghamton. Now, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-0. They know how to get done, with two wins over Greenville and a win over Atlanta. The Stingrays are currently second in the South Division with 42 points, 7 back of first place Florida. Now, however, they will be playing three away games over the next week. All of them, including tonight's game, tonight being Wednesday, all of them are against Florida. Those are three very big games for the Stingrays. That's what's going on down at the farm. But Brandon, why don't you tell us about some World Junior Hockey?
All right, so last week we talked about Samsonov.
We were watching.
Yeah, Samsonov got his bronze for Russia, but we were in the middle of the Canada-USA final. Did you watch the end of that game?
Yeah.
One of the best endings and one of the best broadcasts by the NHL ever. That was such a fantastic game. So dramatic. Overtime. Goes to the shootout. What a way to end. The U.S. wins, beats Canada in Montreal. What passion by these players. Did you see these kids? I mean, the Canadian players literally weeping at the thought of coming in second.
You put a lot into it, and when, especially as a Canadian, where it's your national sport, to have that opportunity to go and play for your country, and then to be, I would assume, the favorite, and unfortunately for them, not be able to get it done. I mean, it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. So, honestly, I mean, neither side should feel bad about how they performed. It went to overtime.
They should feel terrible.
Went to overtime and went to the shootout, and they do five rounds, and one goal in the shootout. One goal by the U.S. decided it all. It was a fantastic game.
It's lame that it was decided by a shootout, though.
I know. They could have gone to, like, double overtime, triple overtime, but still, U.S. came out on top. U.S. won the gold, but great series, great tournament. U.S. looked great. Canada looked great. Samsonov looked great. I mean, good hockey all around.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was. It's nice to have these kind of things in these tournaments. I just wish they were more readily available than the NHL Network, because I don't have that channel.
True.
So there is that.
All right. Well, that is it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, guys, here we are. We're going around the NHL. There's plenty of stuff going on. We know what's going on soon. The All-Star Game is coming. I'm sure there's news about that. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Before we get to the All-Star Game, let's start in Anaheim, where the Ducks acquired goalie Jonas Enroth from Toronto for a seventh-round pick. Now, this came after Toronto claimed goalie Curtis McElhinney off of waivers. Going into the All-Star Game, the NHL unveiled the jerseys for the All-Star Game that will be in Los Angeles, and they are okay. They're decent. I don't know. Brandon, did you check these out yet?
I did see them, and my question is
– Not impressed.
I'm worried that the Penguin-inspired one is going to be worn by Ovechkin and Holtby, because I do not want to see them in black and gold ever.
Please. Yeah, wait, I didn't see this. Did they say who's wearing what?
Let me see.
I didn't catch that. Hold on.
The jerseys are inspired by the NHL's centennial, the Los Angeles Kings' 50th anniversary.
They're inspired by the Kings.
The Pacific Division will wear the black jerseys, which I actually think are the slickest.
Those are probably the best, yeah. The
Atlantic Division will don gold and Jonathan Taves. Okay, God. Whew. All right, Atlanta gets the gold. Great. Central will be dressed in purple.
Oh, they're going to win. The fix is in.
And the Metro Rigged. Gets the white. Which
Those
again,
are not bad.
The black
Those
and white are,
the are
not bad. The purple's kind of cool because I'm a Ravens fan. But the other one's too penguinish. Is that a word? Penguinish?
Yeah, I can see it. It is now. Yeah, I'm still not going to get an All-Star Game jersey because, I mean, these might be the best ones they've had in a while. But they're still kind of stuck. But yeah, those are the All-Star jerseys. The NHL also announced the coaches for each division at the game, naming San Jose's Peter DeBoer for the Pacific, Bruce Boudreau for the Central, Michel Therrien for the Atlantic, and John Tortorella for the Metro Division. So as you mentioned earlier, that's going to be nice and awkward. Mm-hmm. Now let's get into the players that have been announced for representing the Pacific Division. And I'm not going to name their teams. It'll take too freaking long. You've got Connor McDavid, Joe Pavelski, Jeff Carter, Ryan Getzlaf, Bo Horvat, and Michael Frolik of the forwards. Defensemen are Brett Burns, Drew Doughty, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson with the goaltenders being Cam Talbot and Martin Jones. I don't know if those goaltenders scare you very much for the Pacific, but the rest of their roster sounds pretty decent. Let's head up and look at the Central Division. Oh, I forgot to mention the captain of the Pacific. My bad, everybody. Oh, no, I didn't. It's Connor McDavid. I thought it was somebody else. For the Central Division, you've got forwards Mark Scheifele. He spells his name weird. Patrick Kane. Let's go over to the Central Division where they will be represented by forwards Mark Scheifele. He spells his name weird. Patrick Kane, Vladimir Tarasenko, Patrick Laine. I still say that he says his name wrong and Lane sounds cooler. Tyler Seguin and Nathan MacKinnon. Defensemen will be Ryan Suter, Duncan Keith, and PK Subban with goaltenders Devin Dubnyk, Dubstep, and Pekka Rinne. We'll head over to the Atlantic Division where they have forwards Nikita Kucherov. I don't even know how to say this dude's name from Florida. Jonathan Marchessault? Sure.
So it's not Jager?
No, Old Man River is not playing. Austin Matthews, of course, will be playing. James Van Riemsdyk, Brad Marchand, Gustav Nyquist. Defenseman Shea Weber, Erik Karlsson, and Rasmus Ristolainen. And goaltenders Carey Price and Tuukka Rask. Those are some quality goaltending in the Atlantic Division. Let's head over to the home team for us anyways in the Metro. Will be Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Wayne Simmonds, Jeff Skinner, Kevin Hayes, and John Tavares. Defenseman Ryan McDonagh, Zach Werenski, and Chris Letang. I'm a little surprised that none of the Columbus forwards made it considering what kind of a run they went on. And they have goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky and Corey Schneider. Will be representing the Metro Division. Brandon, who do you think is going to win this one? Who won last year? I don't even remember.
Who was John Scott with? Pacific?
Oh, yeah, Pacific. Yeah, I think Pacific won last year. I don't know about that for this year. I am throwing my hat in the ring with the Central Division.
I got to go with our boys, Metro. I mean,
OV. Going on the Metro? OV, didn't they get blown out in the first period or second period?
They sure did. But OV, Holpe, Crosby, Tortorella, that's a solid team right there.
It's not bad. That's not bad. But yeah, that's the All-Star game, and that's pretty much the news from the past week in the NHL. Seems like everyone might have been behaving themselves.
What's different?
You know what you're gonna do.
It's cold out. People are tired.
You know what? Let's be nice.
All right, if that's it for the show this week, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoach. And you can also occasionally, maybe one day if I ever get around to it, write a new piece for CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Of which, Brandon, let's see if they have any new ones up on the website. The answer is no. They still have nothing new. Caps need to come up with some more bobbleheads. I'm a little disappointed in the team right now. But, yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But, Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment.
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and What the Puck. Go over to Facebook, facebook.com/WTP podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Like us, follow us whenever a new show comes out. You will be the first to know. We do this show for free. Some of us do it when we don't have a voice. that's me. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So, games until we talk again. Actually, this is going to be a lonely show next week. You're not going to be here next week.
Nope. I'm going on another one of my worldwide adventures.
Yep. So you guys get to listen to me. Maybe I'll get a guest. I probably won't, but maybe I will. You'll have to find
out. Talk to our boy Ryan up in, I don't remember where he is. Toronto? No, that's
the Great White North,
He's up there in Canada.
All right, Ryan, there you go.
He's holding it down of one of like one person who's a Caps fan up there.
All right, Ryan, so there you go. Open invitation for you to be my co-host next week. That's easy it is to replace Coach Dan.
Oh, that's me.
All right. So on Friday, January 13th, the Capitals still in D.C. up against the Chicago Blackhawks. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch it locally on Comcast Sportsnet or across the nation on NHL Network. On Sunday, January 15th, the Capitals are up against Philadelphia again in D.C., up against the Flyers. Early start to that one, 12:30 in the afternoon. That game is on Comcast Sportsnet and the NHL Network. And then quick turnaround Monday, the poor Capitals have to travel to Pittsburgh, go against those pesky Penguins.
Lame.
Again. All right, so that's, Coach Dan, that's Penguins in the span of, what, 6 days, two games? That's a lot for the Caps. Can they handle two Penguin games? Can they handle two Penguin games? Can they handle the Blackhawks, Flyers, all these teams in playoff contention right now?
That's what's going to be come playoff time. You're going to play the best team, so you got to get ready for it.
All right, so hopefully.
It's a little early, but you got to get ready for it. Got to get ready for it.
That's true. Very true. And Caps are getting hot at the right time, thankfully. All right, so that is pretty much it for the show this week. Coach Stan, have fun wherever you're going. We'll talk in 2 weeks, and hopefully we'll be doing a show. I'll be doing a show next week. But anyway, guys, that's it. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast where we talk anything and everything. Did that one wrong.
Well, before we get into the All-Star game, let's start in Anaheim, where the Ducks acquired Goni? That's not right. Let's try that again. God, I was doing so well.